Hey guys, Liam Duggan here, captain of the 4WD podcast. We're driven by the Shelter Brewing Co. and are a part of Backchat Studios. You can support us on Patreon, where you can get bonus content and episodes before everybody else. Head to patreon.com/ the 4WD podcast. Alrighty, the 4WD podcast, driven by Shelter. We are back, music by the Southern Drew Band, Let It Ride. Socials, the 4WD podcast on Instagram. All of our episodes over on Backchat. And thank you to our Patreons. If you want to get over and help us out, keep the show ticking along nicely, Ronnie, jump on to patreon.com/ the 4WD podcast. We would really appreciate it. Mate, we have found ourselves in some new digs again.
I'm speechless.
There is just so many new things happening at the 4WD podcast and Backchat. We're in a new room in the castle that we call home.
We're in a blue room.
Do you guys say castle or castle?
Castle.
Okay, sorry about that. Castle.
Did you say castle?
I say castle. Yeah.
Is that a you thing or is that another weird Victorian thing?
Might be like a bit of a me thing / like the area from Victoria, because I don't reckon all Victorians call it castle, but I think a lot of us call it castle around castle. My area. Yeah.
It's like a posh area, is it?
No, it's not. Nah, it's just like a Western Vic thing, I reckon. Okay. It could be wrong. It could be just weird. Me.
I suppose in a posh area, it's a palace, not a castle.
Well, we've got Castlemaine. Is it like a town in Vic that we call Castlemaine? I'm pretty sure the locals call it Castlemaine. Correct me if I'm wrong, if you're from Castlemaine.
I'm pretty sure you're wrong.
Yeah. You're not from there. You don't know me. it is nice though. We've got a great little purpose-built 4WD podcast room.
You've got a TV, mate.
We've got a TV with some stuff coming up soon.
A third camera.
Third camera, so we're always, you can't get away with much now. So,
Well, you can. I'm wearing Speedos.
I didn't tell you about the fourth camera under the table, mate.
I would not be sitting here hearing your Speedos right now. Although I do get around in my Speedos quite a bit. Being a footballer, we spend a lot of time in the ice bins. And I'm not wearing my bathers every time I go in there. So the Speedos are a good thing. Do you own a pair of Speedos?
I don't.
Oh, you are missing out.
Oh, when I was younger, but no, not anymore.
Missing out, mate.
So after the ice bath, you'd probably wrap a towel around yourself, right? Because, you know.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, I know.
You get a lot of shrinkage out of it.
You're definitely wrapping the towel straight around. And yeah, you are. No, you jump in the sauna afterwards. All right, we're going off track. Where are we going? On the radar is where we're going. We've got a couple of things to cover on the radar now. Our latest segment, I keep saying it. It's not that new anymore, is it? We're used to this now.
But we're running two radars today.
We're running three.
Three radars.
Wow.
Yep. Shock, you haven't looked at the run sheet. But we're actually, so the first one I want to go on is this is a little thing that my dad alluded me to this morning. And I thought, Dad, what's this all about? Like, give us a little bit more. I need to know what's actually going on here. Because he sent me a photo. I didn't really know what it was. It just looked like a little bit of merch sort of stuff.
This sounds intriguing, man.
It was, because as I got the phone call from Dad, now we can bring it up, Jaden.
Oh,
it's called
TV.
The TV. The standard squeeze. Now,
Is that a two-stroke oil bottle?
It looks like it, doesn't it? And it's the same concept, really. So it's called Standard Squeeze, and it came about when a dad and a son who loved four-wheel driving, fishing, and camping were trying to work out how they can keep track of their drinks while around the campfire to avoid the fuzzy head in the morning. And obviously, you want to be able to drive drive a boat, whatever it is, keep track. Sometimes it's a little bit hard. There's no waste if you do it this way as well. They've got like a tumbler as well that you can sort of drink out of too. Lightweight, easy to store, no environmental damage. And when you leave the campsite, there's no environmental damage when you leave the campsite. Ripping blokes solving other campers' problems. So Dad was a big fan of this one himself, because I don't know if he wrote that or the standard squeeze fellas did. But
how many meals in the top there?
They've got different sizes. So they've got you'd like this actually. They've got the mini, the original, the XL, the double shot, the big shot. they've got packs. They've got it all. I think they're coming out with some they're coming out with some bottle, like, you know, water bottles or whatever as well. They've got the tumblers. They've got some other merch going on. Got a really great website.
There's a lot of different sizes on that website.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. So the standard squeeze, just a little on the radar these guys. So that's something that I've never seen. And obviously it's if you're carrying your spirits around in glass bottles, four-wheel drive, and you're hitting the tracks, it's a pretty dangerous combo with those rolling around in the back. So this way they stay safe. You know how much you're consuming, and reusable.
What if we let Duggo start with that one? Like, how am I going to...
Yeah, you can't really top that, can you?
It's a good little concept, isn't it? I don't mind.
Yeah, it's bloody great. Like, this is...
I've actually got something that might be able to top it.
Really? Well, can I go the next step?
Nah, nah, you're going last, mate. This is actually... Well, Duggo.
Yep.
You've got the new Ranger Raptor.
I have.
Oh.
I have. Did you hear about that?
Yes.
Did you hear about that?
I got the new Ranger Raptor.
I heard you talk about it.
I got the new Raptor. Yeah.
You did the Raptor thing.
No, I got the new Ranger Raptor.
You know the Raptor.
Oh, what? You got the new Ranger?
I'm just joking. I just Raptor coded it. this is live. Not live moving like you thought. This is photos throughout today. That's how I brought the car in. That's obviously sanded back there and ready to Raptor coat. But at the moment, I've got to duck off after this to pick up the car with the Raptor coat through the tub and through the and on the bull bar too. I went over the bull bar as well. So
nicely done.
That's over at Raptor Coating WA in Osborne Park at the moment. Getting
did
a little
you knock
tidier.
That stuff off the bull bar already? Because I don't remember it being like that. Or did they scuff it?
Nah, they
stick?
They do all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All in a day for them as well. So
they'll key it all. So sticks to it.
Yeah. Mate, it was really great fella Ash there. Easy to deal with. Went in last week. He got me in this week, and I reckon it looks. I can't see the rest of the car, but it looks awesome. I reckon. I can't wait to see the finished product.
Looks very good.
And now you're up.
All right.
Here we go, Ronnie.
Yeah. This is great. Yeah. All right, guys.
Your turn.
So,
have you got photos as well for the group?
I don't.
Oh, you're joking.
You can find one, though.
Are you serious
What's
about,
he doing?
Are you serious about it on
I didn't
the radar?
Know we had a
doesn't
TV.
Look at the run sheet.
He did, actually. That's true. He didn't know we had a TV.
I rang Jaden on the way, and he's like, oh, there's TV on the way. Oh, yeah. Cool.
I told him there was a new TV. Yeah. I told him we're on a new set.
There you go.
Well, hang on.
Well, you're waiting? You found something?
No.
Okay. On the radar? The new version
of
that, but there's more to it than that. So the FJ is coming back.
Right.
It's coming back.
I like the whole, that's a cool photo.
Yeah, I guess that's what Jono would use to claim that this is a Land Cruiser, right?
Kind of ruins it a little bit if you ask me, but anyway.
Yeah. It's like they put a
color,
toy
right?
car in amongst all these
real
cars.
Yeah, they probably could have gone a different color.
It could have gone a different color.
Anyway.
Right. So here's the thing that I wasn't happy about though. Toyota have registered the name Land Cruiser FJ,
ooh.
Which means the FJ is a Land Cruiser.
Does it settle it, does it?
Well, this will probably unsettle it after you think it's settled because what's happening is the new FJ is coming. It's 4.5 meters long. It's 1.8 wide. It's 1.8 tall. So it's almost like a cube, but it's not a cube. That makes sense. It's a very tall car for a small car, but the thing is, it's got a 2.5-litre petrol hybrid electrical engine.
Right.
It's the same engine that's in the RAV4.
Really?
So basically...
This isn't the new one. Oh, so it looks different to this.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So it's not the new one.
You can say it hasn't changed.
You'll be able to find it. New Land Cruiser FJ. You'll be able to find it.
Do I have to type in Land Cruiser or...?
Yeah, you do. Otherwise, it comes up with FJ.
Reluctantly.
Reluctantly.
Jono's won, boys.
Yeah.
But Jono's won.
Here's the thing, right? So I think it's like 263 kilowatts. Newton meters. I think it was 160 kilowatts or something like that. So it's going to be a little pocket rocket. But because it's replacing the RAV4, it's likely going to be an all-wheel drive.
Oh, okay.
Because I looked up the system of the RAV4, and the RAV4, if you have the hybrid version, the battery and the electrical motor sits in the rear and drives the rear of the car. So while it's in petrol mode, it uses the front. While it's in all-wheel drive mode, it uses the back. So it's kind of like
And that's in the current RAV4.
Yeah, that's...
So I've just put up a photo behind you. That looks like an RC vehicle.
Wow.
It does. I mean,
that's futuristic.
That could kind of be a bit of AI in that, but I'm not too sure. Mm. I mean, it does look like a photo, but you can't trust anything these days.
Like, that looks tiny.
It looks like the space between the.
You should see the back of it. The back of it looks really. I'm gonna have to say, it looks really ugly. It might grow on me, but it looks really ugly. But if it is a four wheel drive and they keep it as a four wheel drive, and not an all wheel drive, I would drive the shit out of that thing. I reckon it'd be fun as.
Yeah, right.
Or maybe a little pocket rocket, yeah.
I say if it was a four-wheel drive rather than all-wheel drive, you'd be happy with that new hybrid engine in it.
Yeah, I reckon it'd be something fun different. To drive around, yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, you'd have to just cane it on the beaches and the dunes.
Is that what you're telling me it's going to look like? Because that looks different to that.
No, that's... There's a few things getting kicked around. There's a few illustrations and stuff. It's going to look more like that.
Because I don't mind that. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I know people can't see what I'm looking at, but it's different.
It is different. It's very different.
Wow. So you okay? So that interests me that you're excited by the hybrid engine potentially. Yeah, if it sticks with the four wheel drive.
There you go. Look at that.
Ooh. No.
Yeah. So I'm excited that there's finally like a hybrid four wheel drive by Toyota being released, because I mean hybrid cars have been around for ages.
Yeah.
But not as in like a released four wheel drive.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool, but I think it's going to be all-wheel drive, boys. 1.5-ton towing capacity, but you wouldn't buy that to tow with anyway.
Nah.
It's meant to rival the Jimny and I guess some other smaller cars as well.
Do you know price?
No idea.
Nah.
2025, I reckon, it's coming out. So, but I'll be keeping a close eye on it.
Yeah, right.
Because I really want to know more. But not many people know a lot of information on it. Like, I had to extract this from so many places.
Yep. Honest opinion, are you a current fan of the... are you a fan of the current FJ Cruiser?
Not really.
Okay.
I wouldn't own one. I wouldn't buy one. I definitely think that'll be awesome fun to drive around with.
Yep.
Unladen, like, no load on it.
Yeah.
Cane around in the dunes and stuff like that. That'll be good fun. But just practicality and all that, it's kind of like, you know, people buy a Jeep. You either love it or you hate it.
Yep.
And I think that's with the FJ. I don't hate it. It's not something that I would.
Yeah, okay.
It's not my forte.
Yep, that's fair enough.
So I like the bigger Land Cruisers or Utes. I like patrols, stuff like that, bigger stuff.
Yep.
But when it comes to small stuff, like, I actually like the little Jimny. They look fun. So it's either a little toy or it's a big rig.
Yeah, okay.
I don't really sit in between.
Yeah, fair enough. I wonder how it'll go, the new one in 2025, if the vehicle efficiency standards are all in at that time. I wonder if that will be under the...
I think that's why it's one of those things.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, right. Makes sense.
Yeah, because without going into this emission thing too much, because we need...
Yeah, yeah.
I need to do a lot more research on
this. Yeah, same.
And it's not even set in stone it's going to come out. Like Albanese said something today... I think he was criticizing it. I just caught tail of that.
Yep.
But the thing is, Toyota are basically saying if it comes in, they're going to not do diesel engines
at all
anymore. And Isuzu, they've only got two models here in Australia, right, of passenger cars.
Yeah.
And they're like, well,
we're out.
Stuff it. It's not worth the hassle for two cars that we have in our lineup in Australia.
Yeah, righto.
Yeah.
Wow. So the new FJ Land Cruiser on the radar for 2025.
Yeah. It's pretty good on the radar.
Yeah, it's good detail off the top of your head too. Just
mate, I was under pressure, mate. I had to top bloody
standard squeeze.
Top a few.
I couldn't top the standard squeeze.
I think there's a standard squeeze. I think there's a standard squeze on its way over.
Ooh.
So we can have it. We can have a little. Might be able to have a little...
Hopefully there's three.
Just a little swig of Shelter, maybe.
Oh.
Ronnie's, you know, we're looking at... We've got to drive, so...
Yeah, maybe the 0.5 Shelters.
Yeah, beautiful. Good choice. All right, let's move on to the main topic of today, which we haven't mentioned just yet, which is roof racks. Now...
The can of worms.
Yeah, to you. I don't think many people would consider roof racks to be a can of worms, but the detail that you... go into on these or I suppose what you know and the different regulations around roof racks and capacities and all of that. The words I don't even know that you're going to use. I don't know what I'm meant to use.
It's the misleading stuff.
Yeah. So you said to Jaden basically, don't need a run sheet for this, mate.
No.
I'm gonna go for it. So.
But he says that every episode, mate.
he doesn't know there is one, but... Yeah, let's get started where you want to get started, because this is something that you've brought to the table.
Yeah, so I think the best way to start this is to bring up an example.
Yep.
I'll bring up the most ridiculous example there is a Suzuki Jimny. It doesn't matter if it's a 3-door or a 5-door. The roof load that it can have the rated capacity of a Suzuki Jimny is 30 kilos.
So that's roof load capacity is 30 kilos.
It's 30 kilos.
Not the roof rack's capacity.
No, no. So the roof rack on my 76 weighs a touch over 30 kilos.
Right.
Without brackets. So one would assume that a similar bracket, which I know some people that have as well, the exact same roof rack, smaller version obviously, but that would at least weigh 15 kilos.
Yeah.
One would imagine, right?
Yeah.
Then you got your brackets. You got, let's just be generous and say, hey, you've got 15 kilos capacity left.
Yeah.
Awning, you're over. Swag, you're over. You can't put anything up there. And people make roof racks for the car, which I feel is misleading.
Yeah, so that's an interesting...
It's just for show, right? Why make a roof rack for a Jimny?
If a manufacturer knows that the car's roof load doesn't actually... And they make a 23 kilo roof rack, say, for the Jimny. Like, say there is a 23 kilo roof rack out there for the Jimny, another brand.
It's just silly.
Yeah, okay.
It kind of tells you that they're making a product to make money regardless of what people know.
Will they tell you that?
No.
When you purchase
it's up to you, because every single website you see, because I did a lot of research on this just because I had a bit of an issue a number of years ago.
Okay.
Where my roof rack was grossly overloaded and I had no idea.
Right. Yep.
So this led me to down the rabbit hole of the can of open worms, and there's more than one can of worms when we talk about roof racks.
Yep.
And just recently I went through and had another look because I've seen cars with overloaded roof racks and all that, and I was like, you know what, this needs to actually be brought up again. And that's why I'm glad it's actually a topic today. So my Hilux has because I don't have any more, 75 kilo roof rating. My roof rack was 25 kilos. I had 50 kilos capacity left.
Yep.
I had 6 lights up there. I had 4 max tracks, awning. There was a number of other things I had up there as well. And that put me over.
Right.
So there's no point in having... It goes quick. Let's take your Ranger, for example.
Yeah.
Your Ranger has, I think it's 80 kilo.
Oh, you rating. Know. Oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You can look it up. You won't find...
Yeah, I was going to do that, but if...
You won't find the answer.
Oh, you won't?
Well, you might find the answer, but you can't trust the internet. You have to go to the manufacturer.
Right.
And some manufacturers, they have it on their spec sheet, very rarely.
Yep.
Others, you have to, like Toyota, you have to back calculate from their accessories.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really stupid.
Why do you reckon it's so secretive?
I don't know. It's like they don't talk to each other. So the roof rack company and the car manufacturers, they don't. So the roof rack companies, they just say, it's determined by roof load. You have to know your roof load. It's like, well, how the fuck do I find out my roof load? You go to a lot of people go to a forum.
Yeah, right.
It's just so wrong. Some people claimed that the 300 series had a 200 kilo roof rating, right? And the 300 series had a 200 kilo roof rating.
That's
outrageous. It says on one of the forums. And I looked it up and I thought, nah, it will have to be 150 because the 200 is and the 76 is. It's 90.
90.
Well, it's 92 kilos to be exact. Going by Toyota Engineering, 92 kilos.
What happens when you load, say someone reads that, thinks that there's 200 kilos capacity on top of the 300 series.
Yeah.
And they load it up with 150 kilos thinking they're safe as houses with 50 kilos to spare. What actually happens when you drive?
They'll probably, unless you're in an accident or they're going high speed around a tight corner and they need to do evasive action or something, nothing will probably happen. But it's those cases where something will happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're going traveling down corrugated roads and you're going down steep inclines and you're doing proper off-roading and you've got 200 kilos up there, it's going to wear at your roof.
Yep.
It's really going to wear at your roof. Especially if they don't understand that, they probably don't understand proper tire pressures and all this other stuff. It's a big problem.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And it's a bloody can of worms, I'm telling you.
Well, I'm going to try and find out what the weight of my rack on top of the cab is. So if I'm going off an 80 kilo, sorry, I'm just trying to find this here.
So let's take your car, for instance. Let's put a roof rack on it, 25 kilos, let's just say that. You got your brackets.
Yep.
Let's put a rooftop tent on it.
Yeah.
They're anywhere from 50 kilos to 100 kilos.
I had the lightest one, I reckon. That was 50. 52 okay. kilos or something was the
Could
lightest
you put
one.
Your clothes in it? Could you put your bedding in it?
Nothing.
Okay.
Not even a blanket.
So that's what you would have to get away with it. But then if you start putting awnings and other stuff on it, what are you going to do then? But see, yours might have been a bit different because yours wasn't on the roof of the car. It was on the back, right? It was on a frame.
It was on an aluminium, frame and, so that's custom rack.
That's different again.
But that would shake though. The weight of that would sort of, and I've cracked the edge of my tub, I'm assuming because of the weight on top.
Oh, is that where that crack was from?
Yeah, I reckon it was because the area that it was in was where the canopy was mounted, the frame with the roof rack on top, just shifting it back and forth. Yeah. And I reckon that's why that Magic section is cracked and pulled apart, which we saw a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's another complete area of engineering is like, what can it hold on the back?
I don't think it's recommended to put anything on the back because of that exact reason. Because like when you go over corrugations and awesome. Stuff, your car's going to move one way and your load on top is going to move a different way and it's going to put a lot of stress on those.
That's why I don't like tying stuff down to the front rack and to the back.
Yeah.
So I keep it all tied down separately so nothing like, especially like a...
Nothing's chafing and pulling.
Yeah, like Jaden's saying, other way.
It's one of those things though, right, like where people, like you can do it to a point, but it's just like it's recommended not to do it at all because you're gonna damage something that you don't want damaged.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's not worth paying for it.
That's it. And look, if you never actually went off-road ever, you probably wouldn't have a crack there.
You know that's true. Yeah.
So, if you're on the beach and stuff, you're off-roading, there's all these other factors involved and a lot of people wouldn't test their gear to this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what I found over the years of testing random gear on my 79 in particular. A lot of stuff would just break, you know.
Yeah.
There were a few companies that gave me stuff that wasn't released yet and I'd test it, I'll break it, I'd give them feedback, hand it back to them. I wouldn't tell anyone about it because they're asking me for feedback to test something they haven't released yet. They want to make sure it's good before,
Yep.
So then they sort it out, they send it back, I try again, cool, it's all good.
Yeah, right.
And then they'll release the product sometimes.
Yep, that's pretty cool. I've found here it's 28.9, so it's basically 29 kilos. That's the approximate install weight.
It's still roof rack?
Yeah. It's still approximate though, like.
Yeah, well, you never really factor in, can they? Because, it depends what you put on it and how many brackets you put on it.
Yeah.
Yours is a backbone, is it? Does it go on the rail or have you got, arms?
Yours goes through the rail.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
I guess they're just covering their ass.
I suppose.
And that's what most of these companies do, you know. I mean, there's like another can of worms in there. There's also off-road ratings.
Oh, right. Jesus. Yeah.
So
I don't know how many people knew about this.
No, so some companies, and one of them in particular was what I had on my Hilux, and that's why I was grossly overweight because I was overweight. But if I have to deduct a third of my roof rating, then I'm grossly overweight. So for example, some particular companies, there's I don't know how many, but there's two or three of them out there. There's one that's even worse than the rest. They're not a very big company, that one.
Right.
But they even, I think they halve the load. So if you have a roof rack on your car, one of these particular brands, and you're going off-road, while you're on the road, say, let's take the Hilux.
Yep.
25 kilo roof rack, 50 kilos worth of capacity left. Cool. I'll put a swag, I'll put this, and cool, I am 5 kilos away from my max load. Let's leave it at that.
Yep.
Because then give you margin for error. Now I'm hitting the road. Now I'm going onto a gravel road because gravel road is apparently off-road to these companies. And all of a sudden, now I have to remove 25 kilos from my roof.
Oh.
So now I'll ditch some stuff into the bush. And then I'm going on my trip.
So no one follows. No one follows that.
No one's
going
to do that. But here's the problem. Okay, so let's say something happens.
Yeah, this is
this is the can of worms.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know for a fact, I was going to bring up one of the stories. Now, I won't say where this guy worked, but mate of mine, he worked there and we got talking. It was around this time where I had the trouble with my car.
Yep.
And he's like, yeah, well, you wouldn't believe what just happened. So old mate just came back with his 200. The rack bloody came loose and came off, damaged his car as well. So, and they were like, yeah, yeah, just send us some photos and we'll get it sorted under warranty. They only just put it on. They'd done, followed everything, instructions, put it on. They came back and said, well, there's dirt on the car, so clearly it's been off-road. So he has exceeded his roof capacity and they didn't cover it.
And it generally hadn't been off-road at all.
It had. It'd been on a gravel road. That's it. And because the guy was towing as well. I'm pretty sure he was towing, so he would have just been on a gravel road.
Okay.
And the thing is, he got covered in the end, not by the roof rack business, but by the business that installed it. Because they're like, well, I can't just say to him, nah, sorry, mate, you went off road.
Yeah.
That's just bullshit. So he said to me, look, we covered his bill. We painted his car. We gave him a different rack and on his way.
It is... Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't know anything. Like, it's actually, I'm trying to do some research as you're talking because now it actually makes me wonder. Yeah.
Curious.
Really curious.
It's just something that people need to be aware of, you know.
Because I'm looking to use my roof rack more than ever now. I've got the two boxes, my Max Tracks are up there and my swag will be up there. And I'm starting to think. I want a light bar on there too.
Okay, so if you're going to use it.
I think I'm over.
If you're going to use it for that. It's going to be very much just your... This is what I refer to as semi-permanent stuff.
Yep.
Your roof lights, your awning and your solar, right? That's pretty much
Say that again. I was
clicking
buttons.
So your forward-facing roof lights,
yep.
If you're going to have them.
Yep.
Your camp lights, it's a good place to put them.
Yeah, forgot about them. I need them too.
An awning.
Yes, that's... Oh, shit. Yeah.
And let's say a solar panel. If you are going to do a solar panel,
yeah,
it's a good thing to do a solar panel.
We go my idea on the solar panel.
Well, yeah, well, we'll talk about yeah. But
business,
a solar panel is a good idea to put up there. Why? Because if you have a dual cab ute, you're very limited to what you can do with the weight. So just put a solar panel. You're not going to put anything heavy on it. And
yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yep,
it's a good way to think about it. And that's how I would treat a dual cab ute. Otherwise, don't go roof rack at all. Go roof bars.
Yeah, that's the way to get around it, isn't it?
Yeah. So with roof bars, you're 25 kilos better off.
Yep.
And you can put a kayak up there. You can keep your awning up there.
Yeah.
You've got less wind drag, less cost. A roof rack is $2,000.
Yeah.
For a good one. Look, you can get cheaper, but then the roof rack's heavier.
Yep.
So the reason why a lot of people go for the more expensive roof racks that are around $1,800, $2,500, it's a lot of money, man.
Yeah.
For a piece of metal, but it's the lightest we can get. You can go to somewhere like King's and get a cheaper one. They're bloody heavy. So you can put less up there.
Yep.
What's
your... So then for people listening, what's the perfect... So what's your 76 say? So that's a smaller... No, you don't... Oh, no, you've got the 79.
You just put a roof rack on it though, didn't you?
Yeah.
76?
Yeah.
So 76 has a roof capacity of 150 kilos.
Shit, does it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And the thing that people forget, you got to deduct the roof rack. So...
Yeah, so as soon as that's up there, it's...
Yeah. So I've got, being generous, I've got 120 kilo capacity on it.
Right.
But all I'm going to put on it is likely an awning at some stage, the Max Tracks that are up there, and then I've got two cargo boxes that come and go. And maybe I'll put solar on it. I probably won't actually.
But that's similar to your Troopy setup too, isn't it? On the
it's very
top.
Very similar. That'd be similar to the Troopy setup.
Yeah.
Now,
what's a Troopy with the roof conversion? Is there a difference there?
Ooh,
can of worms.
That's a good one. That's a great question.
I don't actually know, but the guy who did the roof conversion.
Yep. Didn't you do the? Didn't you
did the rack?
Didn't you chop your car?
Did you do it at the Perth Ford Roadshow?
I did, but I did it with Daniel. He would know. He's gone through all the engineering to get it right and all that.
Yeah,
I do know that. Here's the other thing: there's dynamic load and then there's static load, right? So what we've been talking about the whole time is dynamic load while you're moving.
Yeah,
that's in motion. So anyone who's listening to this podcast now freaking out, going, "Oh shit, what happens? I've got two people up there." As long as you're not driving, you're all good.
Right.
So most cars can take, you know, say in your Grenadier, 150 kilos dynamic load, sitting still at camp, 420 kilos.
Ah, oh, so you can on the roof.
So you can open your roof tent and you can have two large people in there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, as long as they don't move around too much.
Yowie.
If you get what I mean.
Surely you'd be right with 450. That'd be a fair bit of force. Yeah, right. That's what's the ute setup? Calculating
it. Hey? He's calculating it.
Who, Jaden or me? No, I'm done calculating. I don't like that. Don't like that topic. What's your roof setup on the 79 then? For
yeah,
like because the ute is what a lot of people are using. I'm assuming the 79 roof capacity is obviously going to be more than the Ranger or the Hilux.
It's pretty generous. It's 100 kilos.
Okay.
Yeah, but so is the Triton, or so it's not. So it's, some of these ones are hard to find.
Ah, okay.
The new Triton is 80 kilos, I believe. The old Triton, a guy was telling me from Mitsubishi, it's somewhere between 60 and 100 kilos.
It's fair.
I'm like, mate, that's a big range. Yeah. Like, what is it? Like, you know, I was pretending to be a person to, yeah. You know, Jono was pretending to be a person as well. We call heaps of places just to test them out.
Really?
And honestly, it was fucking dismal.
We should do one of those calls on here.
Yeah, we should. Yeah.
Like not a prank call, but like just a...
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us here.
And if they imagine they went really well, that'd be great marketing for them.
There's a few forums on this Mitsubishi Triton that are people just like in all caps with mad cap, a lot of question marks. They're just like, what's the roof load? I need to know the roof load. And there's 80 kilos. There's one that says 100 kilos is the maximum carrying capacity, including the weight of the rack system.
Yeah, which, what's the rack system?
It'll be the roof rack along with rails. Everything else.
Oh, like, righto, sorry. I've got something here that's like a different category, roof rack system weights.
It's hard to find. It shouldn't be that hard to find.
Exactly. It shouldn't be that hard to find. So
that should be straight there, like right.
Yeah.
Right in front of your face as soon as you...
So we ended up, so this was only a couple of weeks ago we released this video and about roof racks. And at the end of it, we put up the weights that we could confirm.
Oh, yeah.
That we were willing to put our ass on the line for, more or less. I mean, we did put like a clause saying, look, this is the information we got from the manufacturers. And then the ones that weren't confirmed, we put them down the bottom, like reliable source, but unconfirmed. Yeah.
And how many were confirmed?
What'd you have?
We had 25 plus confirmed.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But many...
25?
Yeah. Jesus. Many dealers just couldn't answer it. Like when you start working out on cars, holy crap, you realise how many cars there are.
Yeah, right.
And there are so many more.
It feels like a lot. Yeah.
I think someone got back to me about the Tank 300, 50 kilos or something.
Ooh.
Dismal.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. I could be wrong though. So I could be wrong, but I just have 50 kilos in my mind.
Could be wrong. We're running with
it. For a wagon too, like that's, yeah. You need that roof rack.
Well, half your weight goes if you put a roof rack on.
Good point, especially with a wagon. And I guess that's another thing that needs to be addressed is like, if you have a ute, unless it's a dual cab 70, because they can take 100 kilos, minus the rack. So you got to take, once you, 20 kilo rack, now you're down to 80 kilos. You always got to factor in that you got to subtract the weight of the rack. But according to Toyota and Nissan, I believe, and Isuzu, if you use their roof bars, you don't have to deduct that off the roof.
Oh, right. Yeah. So it's just like a zero weight.
Yeah. But I'm a bit off track here. So what I was getting to is dual cab utes, unless you have the 79 series dual cab ute, which has a capacity of 100 kilos, there's no point in putting a roof rack on your car if you want to load it up. If you have a wagon, that's where I say if you're traveling, you need a roof rack.
Yeah, for sure.
You're going to need a roof rack, but you've got to use it wisely still. And with a dual cab ute, get roof bars. Or you can do similar to what I do to my dual cab utes, and that's just have it almost as an ornament, but it holds the lights. It just makes it easy to tie up all your wiring and all that stuff. But it's really something you can't really use apart from your semi-permanent stuff. Awning. Solar panel, lights, camp lights, that's it. Antenna.
You're probably already getting close to it, aren't you?
Yeah, oh yeah, you're getting really close to it.
Because I was just thinking then, like I've got already...
Max tracks.
Yeah, Max tracks. And all the mounts are sitting on there too for that.
Yeah, the mounts.
They're not quality stuff that are quite sturdy.
Yeah, they're usually, so usually quite heavy and robust. Yeah. And a lot of awning companies, they will give you the heavy shit because they don't want that shit to fall off.
Yeah, well, I put the wrong ones on once and it was not enough for the weight of the awning and it
a bend?
Busted it, yeah. Yep. Yeah. So you pull your awning out one day and it just starts tilting down. It's like, oh, shit. No, my fault. that one's not covered because that was genuinely my fault.
Yeah. It's a serious can of worms. Look, my advice for people is do your research.
Yep.
Actually work out what you're going to use the roof rack for, because you put a roof rack on your car, you got worse fuel economy, you might have wind noise, you got $2,000 you got to fork out. You might not be able to fit through to McDonald's drive-through. You definitely can't go through underground car parks anymore.
Yeah.
I learned that the hard way.
Where?
Joondalup Hospital.
Oh.
Because the first one says 3.4 metres. I'm like, sweet ass. Drove in. And then all the parking spots were taken, so I had to go up one level, and then you don't see it until you turn, and I got stuck under it.
That's a funny thing. I know another car park that's like that. It's like over three.
Oh, is that Whifford Shops?
Nah, it's in...
There's a few shopping centres
It's like, I reckon it's around BCF in Innaloo. I reckon there's like an underground car park around there, and you go in and it's like, oh, three, over three, whatever. And then before you even hit the car park, like it just drops down to like two.
Oh, shit.
But there's nothing in between the two markers. So like, you'd think they'd just lower it because it's just like the driveway into the joint.
Yeah, well, you can get to that point, but that's as far as...
Every time I drive in there, I've been there a million times, I look at it and go, yeah, you beauty, I'll go underneath, it's hot outside, and then I'm like, oh, shit, it's that one again. It gets me every time.
I hate that so much.
Yeah, it's annoying. Struggle with that more than I would. You're very hot. I'm actually higher than you now that you've got your... tent off. Yeah. My awning sits up a bit higher, but
the awning sits higher. Yeah,
don't you reckon you notice his scrub bars on his 76 more than you? I almost didn't know he had them until when you go out there and you have a look at it. Since he's taken the tent off, I noticed the scrub bars way more.
Okay.
It's weird. I don't know why.
It
just doesn't look as big on top.
All I was looking at, because it was tight car bay, was I got so close to your car, man. When I was turning, I was like, oh, yeah, my overhang of the tire got so close to your jerry can holder.
Oh, the new one. What was the wait time on that, actually?
On the bar?
The Cruiser Company bar, yeah. Asking for a mate. A
few months.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It was a while.
Know. Okay.
It was a while, but they were good. Like, I was further back in the queue, and I was like, hey, like, I need this bar by this date. And they were like... okay, no worries. Like, we'll sort something out. And then, I got it before the date. It was very close, but yeah, I got it before the date. I got it installed and everything. Right. But they were quite good with it. It was a few months, though.
I'm Jaden from the 4Drive podcast. Yeah,
I'm that guy, you know.
Well, this was, this was before I was a big shot on this. No. I don't think any of us would ever do anything like that.
Nah, struggle with that stuff, yeah. Nah.
That's people all do all it the time,
good.
Man.
I was generally asking for a mate with the 76.
Yeah. The wait time's long, but it's a good bar, and once you get it on,
he actually asked me to sort him out a rear bar. I said, mate, doesn't work like that.
Bloody hell.
He's persistent, mate. He keeps pushing. I like it.
Just to clarify, it wasn't me asking Duggo.
No, it wasn't. Another mate. All right. So roof racks, advice is do your homework. Find out what the capacity from the manufacturer is of your car.
Spend time to do your homework. Yeah. Justify the rack first,
yep.
Then do your homework, then justify it again.
And there's part of me that's going like that's just what they reckon, it'll be fine. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there doing that, but it's like anything, it's until it happens, it is all fine.
It's
that one time that it really stuffs up and you slides down the side of your car and rips a paint and smashes a window and lands on someone.
And it happens. If you overload the roof rack regardless, bad shit's going to happen eventually. A lot of the ones on the cruisers, they're like clamped on, right? Clamped onto that, what do you call it? What's that be called?
The little gutter.
The gutter. World. That's it. The gutter on the side.
The rust and gutter.
the
first thing that goes on those.
The rust catcher.
Yep.
So that's why the plastic
you had a look at my gutters, mate.
Gunshot. When people go down that, there's a few... roof racks that have slid off and hit the bonnet and stuff like that. it happens. And then there's people who put jerry cans and all kinds of stuff on the roof. And it's just, I went through my backlog of modified segments, and I went through all the roof rack stuff, and I was like, oh my God, overloaded.
Can you YouTube roof racks falling off for me?
Roof racks falling off and just bring it up.
At gunshot, is that all right? Can we see one fall off just to really ram the point home, you know?
There'll be one in particular. But there's one more layer to this too, by the way. I just thought of it now. Pop rivets. People fit roof racks with pop rivets.
How'd your brain get there?
Because I had pop rivets
right
in my roof.
Where do they mount it to?
So they pull out on that Hilux. They pull out the on the track. They pull out the rubber.
Yep.
And then you put the it's like a long backbone thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
through there
pop rivet.
Oh, I've never seen that.
So the thing is, I pulled mine out. And I drilled all the pop rivets out, and a lot of them were gripping on like bugger all, man. I was so glad to get it out. And around that time, some people had lost their roof racks. And I did a video about the whole situation I got myself into and apologized to the public because I didn't know. Honestly didn't know that I was grossly overweight and I was promoting what I put on my car. You know, I was talking about it. I was telling people, hey, this is the rack I got. Yeah, yeah, this is the rack I got and this is what I've done.
Sounded like you were saying you were grossly overweight.
Yeah, yeah. The rack was grossly... I grossly overweighted, loaded the rack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then all the comments started coming afterwards, you know, like, oh, yeah, I had a high ace with a roof rack pop riveted and that came off. And just all these people. Like, if you can go back and look at the video and see all the comments... There was quite a few. There was another YouTuber. His roof rack actually came off the car. He had a rooftop tent on it.
Yep.
I think it was a Navara. That came off.
Wow. Yeah.
So, yeah. So pop rivets, no, no.
Don't
so
go there.
I had in my mind that, you know, they use pop rivets for airplanes. Yeah, use them on the right thing. They're strong, but that I didn't really think about it like that.
Yep. Did you happen to find one, Jaden? Or have you?
Just pad for a few more minutes, boys.
And how much more do you think Ronnie's got on roof racks, mate?
I think he's got a lot on roof racks. He called me and said, I've got heaps on roof racks. So I think he's got a fair bit on roof racks.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that...
What is the roof rack that you fitted on all your cars?
Right now?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I've got a front runner roof rack on all my cars
too.
At the moment.
Yeah.
Mainly because of the simplicity of it. But the reason why I put it on after my whole debacle and that was because they don't reduce the off-road limit.
Ah, right.
They do have a thing written on the side of it saying drive to conditions.
Yep.
And at that time, I had two mates that were working there
as well.
So one of them called me up and said, oh, man, like just seeing all this, you know, like just let it shout out if you, you know, want us to help out or whatever. And I was like, well, yeah, that would be cool,
Yeah, I've got the front runner too. I love it. I love it. Yeah. The simplicity is nice.
Yeah, it's probably not like a real nice, sleek looking one with nothing on them.
Yeah.
But once you put all the stuff on them, they look nice.
They're so user friendly as well.
Yeah, but that's the main thing. They're user friendly. Yeah. So they got a track in the top, track in the bottom, track through the middles, and you can pretty much, even though it's a platform, you can do shit everywhere. And the other thing, it doesn't run north to south, it runs east to west.
Yep.
And when you think about it, you usually strap loads east to west.
Yeah.
So I'm saying it's running across the car. That was something I didn't even think of.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I do love it. Jaden's coming up with the goods here.
I found one. I don't know if it's the one you're talking about, but I found one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
That does not look good, does
it? Visibility would be low, right?
Very
still
low.
Still punching it.
Yeah, roof.
So what kind of car is this?
Well, his head's out the window.
That's a patrol.
Patrol.
That
so it's patrol, for audio listeners, is patrol going down a little ramp into water.
It's definitely Kate York.
And the roof rack just goes straight on, onto the bonnet. Slides straight off the roof onto the bonnet. That's
that
crazy.
So well.
Everything is attached really well to the roof rack. The rack itself, not longer attached to the car.
Well, look at how much stuff is on there.
He's happy as Larry though. Look at that.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
Look at that.
He took it well, eh?
That's gold.
He does not care. Like, there's a tire up there. Is that a bed? A couple of jerry cans.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it might be a lucky... Oh, no, it's a spare tire, man.
Yeah, spare tire there.
So that spare tire would be 60 kilos. Those jerry
cans...
There's
an awning up there on the back.
Would have some stage been 20 kilos each. So...
Big, heavy, like dual bars around that roof rack too. Like it's...
Yeah.
There's 100 kilos in those three items.
And then there's an awning on the back. There's probably an awning on the left side as well.
Water jerry as well.
Yeah. That looks like a bed frame on top.
The fact that he's up there, he's done some wheeling before. So it's probably, like we said, it's just that He got unlucky and probably pushed the limits a little bit.
Yeah.
And then that's what happens at some stage.
All the corrugation getting there.
Yeah.
And then going
down. That had to be Cape York, don't you reckon, by the look of that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sorry to Dave.
Sorry. I don't know who I ripped that off.
Good on you, Dave. Like, you caught the roof rack.
Yeah.
And
done a bloody good job, actually.
And you took it well.
Took it really well. Yeah, good sport. Really well. And we all learn, which is great.
Yeah.
Anything else, mate, you've got on roof racks?
Mate, look,
you've got heaps more.
I can go all day, but I think the audience have.
I mean, do you think we've covered enough?
Have got enough.
I think the fact that you mentioned go and do your homework, that's the best part.
Yeah.
Because it's not always in your face. Not something you're probably going to get told when you're purchasing a car or a roof rack for that matter. So go and do your research.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing as well, look, roof rack companies have done as much as they can because I don't think. If I was a roof rack company, I probably wouldn't have the balls to go, okay, here are the roof ratings of all these companies. Actually, I probably would, actually. I'll put my balls on the line and do that, and I'll put a clause saying, double check, but these are the roof ratings. I would do that if I was a roof rack company.
Yeah.
So, roof rack companies, if you're listening, do it. I dare you.
What is... One more before we finish on roof racks and we go to around the fire pit. What is... Do you know off the top of your head in the research that you're doing... What has the best capacity, like the highest capacity?
The highest capacity would be 150 kilos dynamic loads, and that would be INEOS Grenadier, 76 series, 78 series, 200 series. Double check these though. Patrol, I believe, is we found to be 120.
Right.
But maybe the older version can do more.
Yep.
The new... Y62. Yep. There's a very well-known person in the Y62 community who claimed that the roof was 100 kilos.
Yep.
And I didn't want to rely on a non-manufacturer's details, so I actually researched it. It was actually less than that.
Right.
So
less than 100?
Yeah, it was about 80 or something.
Okay.
80, 90. It wasn't 100. So even though he's claimed to have tested it at 100 kilos... It's not 100 kilos
right.
from the manufacturer. So so just be careful where you get the information from.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go. So, but 150 dynamic was the best you could
150
find.
Dynamic is the best I can find, but you really wouldn't want too much more than that up
yeah.
there.
Yeah, that's true. You don't like carrying that on and off all the time.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. And your car's not going to behave the same. Like, you're on angles and stuff. Yeah. You know? I've been on some angles. If I had an extra swag up there, I probably would have gone, whoop.
Jeez, gone.
Yeah.
All right. Beautiful. Well done. Yeah. That's pretty good. That was all just logged in the head there.
Yeah, I
didn't really prompt you on anything. I just asked questions about what you were talking about, so that was impressive.
Yeah, well, yeah. Jaden wanted something, so I was like, well,
something.
Roof rack's still stuck in my head, so.
Cop this.
Well, it's good because your episode came out. Oh, geez, when this comes out, it'll be a few episodes ago, but.
Yeah.
Go check that one out because that's a good episode.
Yeah. Yeah, and some of the numbers I quoted on this podcast may be a little bit out because, there's a lot of numbers I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, definitely go and check out your video for anyone that wants to hear that. And just on Duggo taking a massive gulp of water.
Sorry, yeah.
What are you, a fish, mate?
I'm thirsty. You had to keep talking a bit there, didn't you? Wait for me to go cue the next.
I got confused, mate. I was like, why don't talk for this long?
Cue the fire, though. Let's go to around the fire here.
He needs that, what was that thing called again? Squeeze?
Oh, the standard squeeze.
Standard squeeze.
Yep.
Figure out how much water you're having.
I might use that as my new drink bottle, the standard squeeze. Keep track of everything.
Well, you know how much you're having then, won't you?
I've been dehydrated the last couple of games that I've played, actually. So it might be nice to be able to keep track.
Probably good for you being an athlete to keep track of everything.
Yeah, a football one.
Yeah, that's a footy one. Paint it red and...
All players. Hey, you haven't had enough, mate.
Yeah, that's actually... It's not a bad idea.
Get some more snake lollies in here.
Stop releasing our business ideas. All right, what do we got, Jaden? I'll shut the laptop and we'll go to the questions from the listeners and the viewers.
All right, so we're still catching up on a few of our questions, but this is from a few episodes ago, our must-have camping items. Don't know if you boys remember that one.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
We got to do that. Have to do that.
We absolutely do. So we've got a few. We've got a few questions or comments. Sean Christie, food, water, axe, fire pit, fridge and battery, tent/swag, chair and recovery gear.
How many was that?
8.
Oh, that was our new rule, wasn't it? 8.
That's a good list. I will use that list.
Fridge and batteries combined as one. Oh, so no, you can't use that list. That's his list.
Oh, No, sorry, mate. Yeah, sorry. I wouldn't go the... Yeah. I wouldn't go to battery and fridge.
Yeah. He also says, a pillow alternative, if you ever forget it, stuff your clothes in a t-shirt.
Stuff
your clothes in a t-shirt.
Ah, yeah.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Pillow alternative.
I thought it was quite good.
Just find a sleeping kangaroo.
Here's a good one. Love the show, boys. This is from Anthony Garzo. Love the show, boys. Always will have a listen if you're shooting the shit. Just have another yarn. He just bought a 2019.
Pretty much all we do now.
It's pretty much all we do. And I know we were quite worried about this episode. We kept going, oh, I don't know if anyone's listening now. But
still
obviously there's people still listening. He just bought a 2019 76 Series, his first Land Cruiser.
Gold.
Any tips?
Ooh.
What was the series again?
76.
Any tips?
Check the roof capacity.
Well, we've done a few episodes on it.
Check the gutter for rust.
Oh.
So he's bought it already though?
Yep, just
bought it. I wonder if it's pretty stock. Wants to set up for like...
It'd be interesting. Yeah. Send us through some photos, Anthony.
Keep it light.
Yeah, keep it light.
Keep it light. Keep it simple. That's a good tip. Simple, light. That old car will thank you for it.
Convert it to an auto.
Love it.
No,
expensive.
Go and check out Lifestyle Pioneers set up in the back of their 76, I reckon.
Like that one.
Just to get some good inspiration on the back setup. I really like theirs.
There you go.
I'll have to check that out.
I like that. Have to have a look.
What happened?
Nothing.
Nothing at all, boys. Come on. Not in top five.
Oh, you just saved us from eardrum burst.
Yeah.
Rich Wetton. Not in top five, but pack of cards, always good to take. For me, insect repellent is also high on the list, which is something none of us included.
Nah, it lives in my car, so I suppose I have to strip that out. Mate. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That, we're going to have to sit down and figure out the rules for this. I know it's been a while, but...
Back on the cards... There are a cool deck of cards. You can get some of these survival deck of cards. You know, they have all these tips on the back of them or on the face, obviously, because otherwise you can tell what card it is. They're pretty cool. You know, like how to start a fire and things like that.
Oh, so is it a standard deck of cards still that I can play?
Yeah, I've seen them before. You can get them.
With a little tip on the back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
nice. That's a bad idea.
Yeah, I think the military do them as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think in the Iraq War, actually, they had like... wanted people on the cards as well.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so they would constantly see these.
Wow.
That sort of recognized smart. Face.
It's messed up.
Yeah.
We should do a four-wheel drive pod one.
It's not messed up. It's just crazy that's what they were doing in that time.
Actually, it wasn't the Rocky. It was the, I think when they were hunting Bin Laden and all that. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
Cards with Bin Laden's face on them.
Yeah, yeah. So it would have been...
Get him.
Sorry, that just feels so weird.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That is pretty crazy.
Yeah, so I think he was like the ace of spades and then I went down from that. So they were like ranked.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it. Last question or last... None of these have really been questions, but they're all statements.
Interactive.
Outback off...
What is something else?
Go on.
You could, with those cards. You know the game called Presidents and Assholes?
Yeah.
You guys, yeah. Presidents and Terrorists?
Oh.
On a deck of cards.
Good game though, P's and A's.
Yeah. That's a massive game in our household.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a big plane trip game for the
boys. Yeah. Oh, cool.
On the plane, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to jump on those planes because I think I'm pretty good at it. Yeah. Unless
pretty good president or a pretty good asshole?
Well, I usually get stuck there for a while, you know, but I'll tell you who's bloody good.
Oh, if you get stuck there, you don't.
My wife plays a killer game. Like, she would be falling asleep at a table. It would be a group of us friends sitting there and we're like getting so like toasted and shitty because she keeps winning, but she's like literally falling
asleep.
Doesn't
want to be there, but just can't stop winning.
And she just keeps... She goes, oh, must look, be someone nice. Else can be the president. You know, it's like, no. We want to win it fair and square.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It gets pretty touchy, eh?
Yeah.
Jeez, sounds like
and you can't leave
intense.
If you're the arsehole either. Like,
yeah.
If you're down there for like four or five goes and you're just like, I just want to go back to my seat. You can't leave. Yep.
And then after 10 goes, people start pitting you and that's I am rising myself.
Do you know the game, Jaden?
No, I haven't played. Much of it.
Good game.
Oh, we'll have to have a game.
Yeah, we could do.
Four drug podcast game. Outback Off-Road NT. G'day boys, trying to send a pick for rig with the most unnecessary mods. This was a while ago. We just haven't had anything to actually display them on. But here's a photo.
Oh, that a Land Cruiser.
It's a Land Cruiser.
Oh, this is from ages ago,
It's not his.
No, he's just sending through some photos with cars that have got the most amount of unnecessary mods on them.
I'll tell you what, though.
I think that's pretty cool.
I don't mind it.
No, I don't mind it at all.
So which BNS was that at?
Yeah.
That is, yeah, that is something else.
And here's the
I wonder where that is.
Well, for the audio listeners, this is a 79 series.
Yeah.
75.
75, trying to look like.
75? With
trying to look like a Mack truck.
Yeah. Trying to look it like does, a, and it's done it's a bloody good job of it. It looks exactly like a Mack
truck. At first look, I thought it was a genuine truck.
Yeah.
It's got the double stacks. Lower
truck.
It does. How's it two snorkels and the two, like.
Yeah, two double stacks, yeah. Two snorkels. Huge amber light on top.
I don't think they're driving around like that normally. That looks like it just,
you know,
comes
where that's going
off.
That's going to the Deniliquin Ute muster, the Denny Ute muster. I reckon that's front and center,
probably right. And this one.
Oh, you're not gonna like that, Ronnie.
It's another 70 series.
Is that the same thing?
It might be the same thing.
It looks like the start of it.
It does.
Oh, it doesn't have the same number
it's
plate,
got a
though.
Different number plate,
or maybe it's the owner's second car.
This is the daily.
But look at the windscreen thing. That looks.
Let's explain it for the audio listeners, boys. What are we looking at?
It was another cruiser.
75.
And the wheels are the most disgusting thing on this.
Yeah, they're like, I don't even know how to explain that one. Really.
Highway terrain. They look like spinner wheels.
It's got
almost
the double stacks again. Two snorkels.
A lot of chrome. Yeah, chrome bull bar.
I tell you what though, Outback Off-Road like NT, he's got a decent little channel too, doesn't he? I had a look.
Yeah.
After we mentioned him last time.
Definitely.
Oh, the V8.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The new V8. Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. I like it. Up in, yeah.
NT.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, yeah. NT.
NT.
Yeah.
He's done a fair few Ks on that already, eh?
Oh, really?
I think like 30,000 or something. Crazy, man.
Oh, it's good. He's a good little contributor to the to the podcast, which is great. Always comes in with some good questions and good things to look at. So yeah, keep him coming. We love him.
Please do.
That is all I've got, boys.
No worries. Beautiful. How'd we go there? Did we put together a decent enough podcast?
Oh, so quick.
How do you guys feel?
Oh, I mean, I learned something.
I learned something. Ronnie,
that's all.
Did you learn anything?
Yeah, I think I learned something.
He was the teacher. I think I'll learn something.
Yeah, standard squeeze. Learn about that.
Yeah, the standard squeeze. Yeah,
learn about his new Raptor.
Yes. Yeah, I wonder how it's going.
I learned that it wasn't a live feed.
No.
Yeah, it wasn't a live feed.
Would have been pretty good though.
Yeah. Just happy with the Raptor as well. Like, I was like, oh, so you actually got one as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were too onto us at the start. He shouldn't have told you at all.
Yeah, he was way too onto us at the start. But then we almost had him, yeah.
Yeah. No, all good. I would love a Raptor. Nice. The new Raptor. It's nice.
You want one?
Oh,
you wouldn't say no.
Nah.
It's a good looking car.
We know someone who's getting one soon, though.
The new Raptor?
Yeah.
Who?
Nick.
Oh, he's got it.
He's got it.
Yeah,
now.
He's got it. Yeah. He's got it.
I've hit him up for a test drive, mate.
I've had a drive, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. What's it like?
It's pretty impressive, actually. Yeah. It is pretty impressive. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big car that gets going.
Do you rate it better than what yours is at the moment?
Like drive-wise.
Drive-wise?
Yeah.
Way better?
Yeah.
Like world of difference?
Just the power on tap, like the V6 petrol. All the modes on it as well.
How many blockies did you do?
More or less than Ronnie's 76?
The dinner was on the way sort of thing, and the girls were like waiting for us, and we were just driving around looking at nice houses in our nice new car, and I was driving. I was pretty happy just out and about.
In our nice new car.
But it is good. But again, I don't know about the price.
Okay. How much?
For what it is. I reckon they're close to 100.
They're in the 90s, I think. Yeah. I haven't got it in front of me.
If I was doing that, I'd still probably go my Land Cruiser.
Yeah.
And that's just me personally. They are a wicked car.
Which though. Land Cruiser though?
Just like the V8 for me still. Yeah.
Okay.
Still.
So you're talking 200 or 70?
70 probably. Yeah. I do look at 200s as well, but 70.
Because I'm going to say 200 will be more than
the 200s
second hand.
There are some good 200s out there that have done 150, but you get only the GX or the GXL.
What would they be going for?
You can find some in like the 60s and 70s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Raptors are about 90.
Yeah. Well, things are coming down a bit, aren't they?
little bit. It's not too bad. Yeah. I can find you a decent 200 for, but you just got to be happy with the GX model or the GXL.
There you go, listeners. If you want a new car, Doug will find it for you.
Yeah, if you need
something, he'll find you a good one.
I don't charge much to do the work.
The unofficial spokesman of car sales.
on my LinkedIn profile, car sales.
Mate. Anyway,
volunteer. All right. Let's see it out. Southern River Band, Let It Ride, 4Drive Podcast on Instagram, all of our episodes over on Backchat. And to our patrons, thank you very much for your support. 4Drive Podcast from Ross Shelter.
Toodaloo.